The Sixth Commandment: You shall not commit adultery. Although in English, the Sixth Commandment is usually rendered as "You shall not commit adultery," the Church understands it to encompass all sinful acts against chastity. St. Paul asks the Corinthians, "Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, which you have from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body." In a pagan world, where chastity was despised and derided, St. Paul offers a Christian profound reasons for living chastity. As a member of Christ and a temple of the Holy Spirit, he has to give glory to God with his body too. Not only Christians, but all men of reason should respect their own bodies and others and strive for chastity in thought, word, deed, and desire. God has left two commandments to signpost the way to live chastity in a dignified manner. The sixth, "You shall not commit adultery," and the ninth, "You shall not covet your neighbor's wife." These clearly mark the way to master sexuality internally and externally in accordance with reason. Sexuality is a gift from God. First of all, we should recall the biblical teaching that God created man in his image and likeness. Male and female, he created them. To create them so was God's will. And since everything God made is good, sexuality is neither bad nor contrary to God's law. Because it comes from God, sexuality is good. It is God's gift. Not only is sexuality good, but its purpose is sublime and well-defined. Although God could have arranged things otherwise, in fact he entrusted the sublime mission of transmitting life to the sexuality of man and woman as spouses. He did not leave so lofty a mission unprotected, but rather established some precepts so that human sexuality would retain the dignity and efficacy that God willed for it. Therefore, man cannot dispose of his body as he wishes. God has arranged an order in the use of sexuality. Thus, sexual pleasure, whether in thought, word, or deed, should be sought only within marriage and in accordance with God's plan for human sexuality, that is, the transmission of human life and the communion and mutual aid of the spouses. The virtue of chastity. At times, purity and chastity are identified. But whereas purity refers to total sexual abstinence, chastity means to master sexuality by abstaining from its illicit use. Chastity is the virtue which controls sexuality in thought, desire, word, and action. It consists in the submission of sexuality to reason and faith. As with all virtues, chastity implies victory over and freedom from slavery to sin. The harm caused by impurity. Sins against chastity not only harm men and women's friendship with God, but also other important virtues. Those who sin against chastity are easily affected by gloom, because they become slaves of sin. They lack generosity because they put themselves and pleasure before God. Their faith is weakened because their impurity darkens their hearts. And they lose that sensibility which enables them to love God and others. Educating and mastering one's sexuality enables one to control one's passions and obtain peace instead of being controlled by one's passions and becoming miserable. Chastity is for all. Christ is the model of all virtues, and a life of chastity is the condition of Christians. But each of us has to practice chastity according to his vocation and state in life. God calls some to virginity or celibacy as a way of giving their hearts undivided to God, and he asks others to practice chastity in marriage or as single persons. Married people have to practice conjugal chastity by being faithful to their matrimonial duties, and single persons have to practice continence. Spouses should bear in mind that fertility is a good and an end of marriage, because married love tends by itself towards fertility. Therefore, the marital union of man and woman must be open always to the transmission of life. Contraception and sterilization, in order to avoid procreation, are never licit. Sins against chastity. Those sin against chastity who, be they alone or with others, commit impure acts, look at impure things, consent fully to impure thoughts or desires, talk or tell jokes about impure things, voluntarily put themselves or others in danger of sin. Masturbation, fornication, pornographic and homosexual activities are sins that clearly violate chastity. Adultery, polygamy, and casual sex feature among the sins that go against the dignity of marriage. Such sins against chastity are always serious, if there is full knowledge and deliberate consent. In sins against chastity, there is no such thing as a venial matter. The matter is always grave. Struggling for chastity. To win the battle for chastity, one must flee from occasions of sin. In this matter, fleeing is not cowardice but prudence. And prudence tells us to avoid friends, reading material, entertainment, conversations, etc., which might lead to sin. Another nugget of wisdom is to keep ourselves occupied with serious work so as not to become engrossed in egoism. Sport is also useful as a way of acquiring splendid virtues that help us to resist our whims. And one ought not to forget the importance of sincerity, seeking help from a competent person with whom we can confide our difficulties. Other habits worth cultivating are modesty in dress, daily hygiene, etc. But more important is the use of the supernatural means, frequent confession and communion, praying for chastity with humility and perseverance, having recourse to our Mother, the Most Pure Virgin, offering small sacrifices that strengthen the will and win grace from God. As St. Thomas Aquinas says, "To live in the flesh, but not according to the flesh, is not of man, but of God." Resolutions for Christian life. Turn to Our Lady when feeling temptations against chastity. Recite the Memorare prayer. Remember, O Most Gracious Virgin Mary. Strive to be clean in our words, conversations, jokes, etc.